Praise God. It's good to be here. Yes, I've heard that song 45 times. I love it. Love it, man. Can't stop thinking about them. No matter where I am, what I'm doing, I just can't stop thinking about them. I open up his word, I can't stop thinking about him. I sit in my mind or lay in bed at night and I see you all sitting here and I just can't stop thinking about him because I love him so much. Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, we're starting at verse 15. To me, this is like, I don't know, like his anthem, like it's towards the end of his life and he's writing this second letter to the believers. And he says this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, therefore I intend always, pretty good word, yeah, good echo on that, man, that always, praise God, feel a little electrified right there, to remind you of these qualities, though you know them. If you were here last week, we talked about them. You know them and you're established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I'm in this body, Peter writes, to stir you up by the way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made it clear to me, and I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. So he's writing these verses where, look, just looked at verse 12 through 15. What are these qualities that he's talking about in those verses? What are these things that we have to recall? And we looked at them last week, and you can see it in 2 Peter 1 through 5, because we're supposed to add to our faith virtue. And then we're supposed to supplement to our virtue when you look down with knowledge, and then knowledge, self-control, and then self-control, steadfastness. I love that word, steadfastness. Love that word. And then we're supposed to add godliness. And when we have those five things in order, it's almost like then it becomes on us to show brotherly affection and love. That's our part of it. So Peter's saying in the verses 12 through 15, as long as he's living, he wants to stir you up in a way to remember. So it's almost like he wants to remind them of this. And he's saying in those verses, hey, I'm going to leave the earth soon because God told me I'm going to leave. And he made it clear to me. So I didn't come here today, whatever date this is, February 10th, to tell you that God has made it clear to me that I'm leaving this earth, because he hasn't made me. And he hasn't made clear to me when I'm supposed to step down from the position I have here. But he's telling me something. He's telling me to emphatically, I love that word, emphatically remind you to remember those seven things. And to me, when I say emphatically, I mean the rest of my life that I get the blessing of be here, I'm going to be definitely talking about those things. Insistent that you'd live that way, unequivocally and victoriously, to live that way, vigorously, I'll get it out there. But those things are so important. Those qualities are so important should you choose to live for him. And when you get to that point in your life where you could be driving along during the road, just can't stop thinking about it. Just can't stop thinking about your goodness, goodness. So besides Peter reminding them about these qualities, I felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me, because that's who talks to you. When you read the Word, it's the Holy Spirit making the Word come alive in your heart. The Bible says the Holy Spirit doesn't speak on his own. He goes to the Father and takes the things from him that he wants us to know. So when you're reading his Word, that's his inspired Word, that's the truth. The Holy Spirit makes it known to you. So I guess I'm supposed to tell you, even though I'm still in the introduction to this, don't leave today and leave the word here. Don't leave what you learned today and just leave it in your seat and walk out these doors and live the way you want without God, because it's not going to work out. It's not going to work out without having a relationship with God and living for him. So I thought to myself, you know, where else in the Bible does the Bible warn us about things? And I thought about Jesus right away. Matthew 24, because we're looking in this generation. We're living this generation where we see so many things going on in the news, so many things happening out in the world. And Jesus answered them and said, "See that no one leads you astray." Isn't that great? See that no one leads you astray. When you kids get ready to go to school, your parents are thinking, man, I hope there's no other kids there that are going to lead my kid astray. Astray from the things of God. Astray from living out his relationship with God in front of his friends. See to it that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name saying, I'm the Christ. And they will lead many astray. People want power, man. You'll see it. They want to be in charge. And they want to be in charge. It might be a he, it might be a she, it might be a group of people. They want to call the shots. They don't know Jesus is a Messiah. They don't know God's Son, that he came to earth to live this sinful life, to fulfill God's mission. They don't know him. And they don't know that, for God so loved the world, he gave his only forgotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And I came here today to tell you, it's not about being a Republican. It's not about being a Democrat. It's not, definitely not about being a socialist. It's about following him in all we do, in everything we do. There have been so many cults started in the world, even within the last 100 years. There are so many cults of saying, this is the way you're supposed to live. This is the way you're supposed to do. This is supposed to be the way you do that. But it's not about that. It's about being right or wrong. It's about being good or evil. So think about when you're living your life, every decision you make with any relationship with you have, everything you're to do, it's either going to be right or wrong. It's really no gray area. It's either going to be good or it's going to be evil. And Jesus reminded us in Matthew 24:4, see to it that no one leads you astray. Meaning teaching you evil things or wrong things, lying to you, twisting the truth. And how do we know whether it's true or not? We line it up with God's word. If it's contrary to God's word, it's not true. We have to know his word. And we just not have to know it. We have to be transformed by it. Because we can sit in Bible studies and community groups and in this service and take all this knowledge that I'm trying to lay out to you from God's word, and we can just leave it here. Hey, I put my time in, man. Now I'm going to go out and live the way I want or follow someone else who's not following God and allow them to lead me astray. So we have to know his word. Then he goes on in Matthew chapter 24. This is Jesus talking. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. We seeing that in the news today? Betraying one another, hating one another, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. In verse 12 he says, and because of lawlessness will be increased. The love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And then Jesus says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout all the world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So in this year, 2019, like in every other year, the last couple thousand years, people are being put to death for the name of Jesus. Over the last 25 years, I can tell you right now by authority, these are the countries that are killing people because of Jesus' name. The number one country in the world, North Korea. Number two, Saudi Arabia. Three, Iran. Four, Somalia. Five, Afghanistan. Six, Maldives. Never even heard of Maldives. It's a republic in the Indian Ocean, southwest of India, consisting of 2,000 islands. They are persecuting people and killing people because of the name of the Christ. Yemen, Sudan, Vietnam, China, number 10. There's so much hatred going on around the world and even in our own country. And Jesus says many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. The Word of God says lawlessness will increase. The love of many will grow cold. And I love it when Jesus said, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout all the world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And can I tell you something right now? Those of you that are sitting here, me sitting, we're the testimony. We're the testimony that God wants to use to make a difference in this generation, to show that there is a difference between good and evil. There is a difference between right and wrong. I've included in your listening guide today organizations because I think mission work is the highest calling you could ever have. To leave your home and go to another country to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. So in your listening guide today, I put a list of the people that this church sponsors every month. Today, when you're eating that loaded, whatever it is, pie over there, whatever it is. It's loaded. I don't know what it's loaded with, but anyway, when you're eating today and you go into fellowship hall, I got two bulletin boards there that just shows the organizations. Look at them. Pray for them. Maybe as a family, you could take on one of them to maybe write them or pray for them or even sponsor them, because there are people out there giving their lives up every day for the gospel of Christ. And I remember Wednesday night in our Bible study, we're blessed in this nation. We have the freedom to go and to where we want to go. So it's very important that we support foreign missions, domestic missions. Think about it. Then Jesus also warned us about in John 16, 1 through 4. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogue, and indeed an hour is coming when whoever kills you think he is offering service to God. Think about it. We have other people in other countries killing people for the name of Allah and thinking they're doing favor to God. And they will do these things. And Jesus gives them the reason. They're going to do these things because they have not known the Father or known me. But I have said these things to you that when the hour comes, you may remember that I have told them to you. They actually think they're doing a service of God. They don't know the Father. And you think about the tragedies and the travesties that are going on today in America, and abortion has to be one of them. When I get my email from Liberty University and they tell me that in the year 2017, 700,000 babies were killed, that's travesty. That's evilness. But we got prophets and people telling false things that they're not really alive inside of you. And I heard someone say on a show the other night that life begins with a heartbeat and ends with a heartbeat. I truly believe that. And I'm sure you heard in New York a couple weeks ago where they passed this law that a baby can be born and set outside, and the doctor and the mom will talk about it, whether they want to keep the baby alive or not. That's evil. That's against God. That's against everything God has created. They call it infanticide. And there were people in that news conference cheering and yelling and excited that they could make it into law. And then I saw someone put on Facebook, I never thought of it this way, that if Planned Parenthood were killing puppies, they would have shut that thing down years ago. They would have shut it down. And you think about standing before God and doing that. When I voted last November in that beautiful little Round Hill Elementary School, and I walked outside there, and I went up to the guy there on the one side of the aisle, and I said, well, I really don't know what's her name stands for, because I don't like to use names here. What she stands for when it comes to whether a baby can be killed or not, well, she believes a woman has a right to choose. And then I looked right at him in the eye and I said, do you know that 700,000 babies were chosen to be killed? And he just looked at me. I said, you ever been to Camden Yards? I love the Baltimore Orioles. Oh, yeah, I love the Orioles. I said, do you know how many people that fits in there? I said, about 50,000. And I looked at him and I said, that's 14 Camden Yards with every seat filled with a baby that was killed in 1 year. 14 stadiums full. And there are people cheering. I saw a sign the other day that said, "Let God Plan Parenthood." That's pretty powerful. Someone asked me last Sunday in this service beforehand, "Pastor, what should we do about this?" And I thought about it all week. What should we do as believers? What should we do as Christians? And immediately I talk about voting. We have the freedom to vote. So you go out and vote and don't look at the Democrat or the Republican. Look at whether they stand for life or not. And vote for them. And I've said this before, and you might think I'm crazy, and you might come up to me and say, "Nick, you're wrong." But I think it's a sin to vote for somebody who believes you have a choice to kill your baby. Flat out. That is a sin. And you'll stand before God for that. And if you voted for people to believe in abortion, ask God to forgive you. He will. He's all about the forgiving business. I don't want this place to be a judging place, but a loving place. We welcome anybody who comes in here, and we want to love on them, but we got to tell them the truth of God's word because it's so important. And then we talk about human trafficking. It's unbelievable. I mean, I've been, you know, to a couple dinners where they talk about it. I've heard people talk about who's been involved in human trafficking, and it's unbelievable. And so I wanted to look up and say and think, well, how many people are involved in human trafficking in the world? And I found out it's estimated that 20 to 45.8 million people are trapped in slavery around the world. I can't even comprehend that. They said in the article, there's no way to count with 100% the accuracy of the total number of people trapped in slavery. These men and women and children are part of a hidden population that we don't even know about. But to us, I don't think the number is as important as it's the people, because one is too many. So then I put my Camden Yards mind to the test again, and I thought, well, maybe if there's just 20 million people in slavery, how many stadiums are that? And I think I did the math right. That's 400,000 Camden Yards with every seat filled up with people involved in sex slavery. And you'll hear it on the news. That stuff's just made up about the border. It's not really true. And all you have to do is go down and ask the people that surrender, that work down at their border, and they put their life on the line for us to try to protect this country from freedom. And yet we have people saying, we don't need them anymore. We don't need FBI. We don't need ICE anymore to protect us. John 16:3-4, they will do these things because they have not known me nor the Father. But I have said these things to you, that when the hour comes, you may remember that I told you. So we don't have any excuse. It says it in the word, these things are going to happen. So I told you about Peter reminding us, and I talked about Jesus reminding us, and I thought about Paul. Well, what did he remind us? And it brought me to Acts, and he says in Acts 20:28, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Isn't that beautiful? And overseers are really talking about elders here, but I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit has made each one of us as children of God to join him in the work that he has to do in saving people. Because I'm going to tell you something, God doesn't want anybody to perish. It says it right in the word. He doesn't want anybody to perish but come into the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But Paul wrote, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. And fierce wolves are in everywhere in our society. They're in politically, they're in socially, they're in academia, they're in the media. Every area in our lives, there are wolves in there trying to take you away from the things of God. And yeah, we can talk about the enemy and the devil, and his job is to kill, steal, and destroy. But we're going to keep our eyes on the Lord. knowing that we are going to go through trials. We are going to be tested. We are going to have tough times in our life. So I wanted to end today looking at the rest of the verses in chapter 1 of 2 Peter. I don't know if I skipped a couple pages or not, Joe. I don't know. I had 25 pages ready. 2 Peter 1:16. Just want to finish the chapter, then we'll close this and start working on the loaded baked potato soup. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought to myself, yes, I would say amen to that. We did not follow cleverly devised myths. You know, I thought, oh, it'd be funny to say, oh, I looked that up in the message and I looked it up in the Greek, and the Greek said New Green Deal in the place of that. One person caught it. When we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses to his majesty. In other words, Peter saying, I hung with Jesus for 3 years. I followed him. I wanted to be his disciple. I wanted to know everything about him. I was sorry when he left, but Jesus looked at me and said, I must go because I'm going to send you the promised Holy Spirit to be with you forever. And he will live inside of you and teach you things, rebuke you, do the things he needs to do to make you to be a strong Christian in him. I'm telling you, teenagers, you're going to be tempted with everything. Everything this world has to offer you. Fame, money, worldliness. I mean, just turn on the music awards tonight and you will see worldliness at its best. You will see people making up songs about killing the police, man. You'll be seeing Black Lives Matter, white, all lives matter. Every life matters to God. He wants everyone to know him as his Lord and Savior. He doesn't want us to be in groups. We're all together. If we each cut our wrists, blood's going to be red. This week, they wanted to eradicate sexual slavery, and they told everybody to put an X on their hand. I don't know if that's not going to do anything. We need prayer. I asked my friend across the street who was an Alexandria policeman, and I know he's not a believer because he said he's not. But Kathy just keeps pouring into him, and I asked him, William, when you're out on the street, you know, I hear these things about sexual slavery and human trafficking. Does that really happen? And he looked right at me, didn't even blink. You would be surprised. That was his answer. You would be surprised. Where young girls are getting taken up. There's, you know who the worst offender of human trafficking is? They said a white male, 30 years old, in a suit, going around and getting a hold of young girls. Say, oh, you're going to be in the movies. You're going to be a model. And start, I mean, it's sad. Don't let this world get a hold of you. Be strong. Be steadfast. Seriously, add to your faith virtue. Kristen said in our group morning, you can't add those things until you have your faith in Christ. And if you have your faith in Christ, then you can add those things. Virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly kindness and love. We need those things in this generation. You want to reach people from Christ? Start living out those things for him. He says in verse 17, when we received honor and glory from God the Father, the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, capital M, capital G. This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. And Peter wrote that, and I'm sure he was talking about when Jesus was baptized. And that dove came down, and that voice from heaven came down, my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. And there's not a father sitting in here who has a son or a daughter who wouldn't want to say the same thing. Thank you, Lord, for my son and daughter. I have this obligation to raise them up to know Christ and to live for Christ. Peter says in verse 18, we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven. For we were with him on the holy mountain. There's Peter going back through his life with Christ. And you can read about that mountain. And we have this prophetic word made fully confirmed, word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention to it. I'm telling you, every day, parent, you should look at your kid and say, pay attention to the Word of God. Because if you don't pay attention to the Word of God, false prophets will come in here and tell you alcohol will make you free. Drugs will make you free. Having sex outside of marriage will make you free. And that's a lie. All those things are a lie from the pit of hell. Just look at these magazines and you'll be all right. I remember hearing, I'm going to have to go on. I must have saw those oyster crackers. I can't wait. You think about Kurt Franklin, and I heard his testimony one time. Kurt Franklin, when I was a youth pastor, he was number one thing, man. He sold so many records, but he had a secret sin that he shared about, and it was pornography. And I can remember him telling, he talked to Tony Evans. Tony Evans helped him out. And he said, I don't know what it was. I just got hooked on these magazines. And that's what the enemy wants every one of you kids to do. Of course, now it's not magazines. It's the internet. I can remember doing a message called Just One Click Away from ruining your heart and ruining your soul. And they asked Kurt Franklin, what was the worst time in your... I mean, he's traveling around the world making millions of dollars singing great songs, man. I mean, he had some great... He's very talented. And he asked him, Kurt, what was your worst time? And he said, one night, I took all my magazines, which were under my bed, and I took them down to the 7-Eleven down the road and threw them all away. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, I woke up and went back down and got a ladder and got back in and took the magazines out and brought them in. That's how stuck he was on pornography. Pornography is a drug. There's no doubt about it. And guys are visual. I'm telling you, when I'm watching football games and stuff, when the cheerleaders come on, I turn away, man. Because guys are visual. We can't handle that stuff. Girls, it don't bother them in the least bit. But if you're a man, you got trouble, man, because something, God had a visual in your mind. So when I, where is Kathy? I lost her. She was sitting right there. So when I look at her. I want to love her. I don't want to look at no other girl. And I thank the Lord every day that I didn't succumb to that, to be involved in pornography and stuff. I can remember as a little kid, you're going to really think I'm crazy now. I can remember being 10, 11 years old, and I had a brother who was an Elvis fanatic. And he would take me and my brother to all the Elvis movies. Every Elvis movie that came out, it came out like every other month, man. And they would have these girls in there. I'm thinking, I'm sitting here 10, 11 years old. You know what I mean? Shocked. And I never knew. I never understood about the visual, about the man thing until I knew the Lord. And the Lord will give you a way out of that. You'll be tempted by this world on all these things. All these things I mentioned, you'll be tempted by this world. But I'm going to tell you something. If you have Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, He'll make a way for you to get out. Now, you're going to have to choose to do it. Jeff Evans, you were so right today. We have a responsibility to choose whether we're going to take our way from that. There are some people that can't have one drink. They just can't stop. Don't drink then. If you have a spouse that has a problem drinking, don't bring the stuff in the house, man. Try Coke Zero. It's fantastic. Try Fresca. I love it. You're going to think he's crazy, man. Save some of those oyster crackers for me, man. You will do well to pay attention as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawn and the morning star rises in your heart. And truly, I really think the morning star is Jesus. I really think that morning star, and all of a sudden you get up and he takes that veil away from your eyes and you see, oh my gosh, the thing's empty, man. The cross is empty. He paid the price. He died for my sins and he wants nothing else but for you to take the responsibility, because it says all who received him, to those who chose him, believed on him and chose him, he became a right to become a children of God. And I'm going to tell you something. Where is Pastor Caleb, man? Praise God. I saw him somewhere. I can tell you, when he's up here on Wednesday night talking to you teenagers, he wants nothing else but for you to have a relationship with God. For you to put the things away from the world and acknowledge him as your Lord and Savior. He lives his life to want you kids, you teenagers, don't be calling me no kid, to want you teenagers to know Christ as your Savior. Then he goes in verse 20, and I'm closing down now. If the ushers want to get ready, come on up, man. We got to do I Remember Again. We got to do that again, man. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy, and here's your verse. When your teenagers come up and say, man, I forgot to bring Bible, I'll use this, man. When they come up and say, this is old, this is outdated, we need a new Green Deal, we need a new Bible deal. You can take them. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20 and show them. How do you know this is God's Word? Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture came from someone's own interpretation. Mormonism, their own interpretation. Islam, their own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by who? Holy Spirit. As they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. We in this generation, as well as every generation, need to pay attention to what's going on around us. Because God wants to use us as ambassadors, her, and it's almost like Jude. If you read that one little chapter before Revelation, Jude says, snatch them out of the fire. Have compassion on it. Everybody that walks into the store, we have compassion. We want to snatch you out of the fires of the things of this world and allow you to become in relationship with God. We need to be lamps shining in a dark place. Pray that morning star rises and everyone you talk to and your family members and your neighbors and the people you work with, that you're reaching out with the gospel. Line up everything with the Word of God so you won't be led astray. Line up everything with the Word of God so you won't be led astray. Father, I give you the glory for today, Lord. Thank you for just this church family, Father. We're a family. We get to eat together today. We get to fellowship together today. Right now we get to give back. A portion of what you give us. The Bible talks about money so much it's unbelievable. But you can't talk about it from the pulpit because they think you're nuts. They think I'm going to get out and get into a jet or something. I don't know where that's coming from. But Father, just pray for our offering, Lord. Thank you, Father, on how you teach us what it means to sacrifice. I know there are many parents sitting in here right now that would do anything for their child to know you and understand you and live for you. Father, help us remember, we used to be lost and not know you, but then the Spirit of God knocked on the door of our heart and said, come unto me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Bring your trials to me, your hardships to me, the tough times to me, your spouse to me, your child to me. Bring them to me and allow me, pray that they will open the door to your heart, Father. This is serious business, man. This is just not a one-week thing where we come in and hear the Word of God and try to understand it, but He wants us to take this Word of God and go outside these walls and live it out and make a difference for you, Father. We're going to stand before you one day and give an account. What did you do with all the knowledge I put in your heart? What did you do with the feet I gave you, and the hands I gave you, and the mouth I gave you, and the heart I gave you? Did you use it to glorify me? Did you use it to snatch people out of the fires of hell and show them about the saving gospel of Jesus Christ? So, Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for this offering. Thank you for this beautiful worship band. Thank you for this beautiful family. I just want us to sing. I just want us to come forward to this altar. I want to pray for some people today. I want to put my hand on their shoulders and say, be steadfast. Be unmovable. Have self-control. Live with godliness. Forget about the things of this world. Put them aside and live for Him. Understand what His good and pleasing and perfect will is. And if we will know that, if we decide not to conform to this world any longer, but to allow you to transform our minds, Father. I give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.